On this episode of Balance and Manifest, Your Rise to Greatness, we talk to our good friend Tony Drake from Coaching by Drake. Tony grew up in San Diego, California, and as an overweight kid, Tony battled getting picked on and bullied all the way through high school, leaving scars that would last for many years to come. From chasing his dream of becoming a professional wrestler and wrestling in Japan, overcoming numerous injuries, to completely transforming himself both physically and mentally, Tony has turned his struggles into positivity, becoming a certified personal trainer, a life and transformation coach, and most importantly, a husband and father. I hope you guys enjoy this episode as much as we did recording Tony's amazing story. Welcome to another episode of Balance and Manifest, Your Rise to Greatness, the podcast where our guests share their stories of overcoming hardship and fighting their way to success to help inspire and motivate others. I'm your host, Sean.
And I'm Sav.
And as always, this podcast is presented by Nine Realms Athletics. Follow Nine Realms Athletics on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and yes, we are on TikTok. Go over to Nine Realms Athletics.com and use promo code MANIFEST to get a discount on your next order.
Oh, I'm so excited for our new hats.
Do you want to tell them about the new hats?
Yeah, I mean, we did a full custom. We have four different hats. They're all custom designed by us, Berserker Battle Axe hats. Go check them out on our website. There's four different colors. We put a little customization on the inside with a little Victory of Valhalla, our own little tag on the inside as well with the battle axes. 9RA, obviously Nine Realms Athletics with the little berserker symbol there, really representing true athlete via Viking style.
There you go. How are you feeling about this podcast?
Fantastic. I'm really excited.
Yeah, me too. So what we got for you guys today is if you followed me, I did a podcast with my best friend, John, was Good Bad Wrestling, No Holds Barred, and we did some interviews on there. And one of the interviews we did, we talked to a good friend of mine. He's a coach. He's ISSA certified. He's a lifestyle transformation coach. He's a father, beautiful family. I know him from back in my days of professional wrestling. The one and only Tony Drake from Coaching by Drake. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing absolutely phenomenal, man. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your day. Both of you guys for having me join this podcast. I'm excited, man.
No, I know you and I have been talking about doing this, redoing this for a while. I loved the first one we did. Was more wrestling based, and there's a lot that you and I talk offline regularly. It's been a little sporadic as of late. We've both got a lot going on, but we talk a lot, and you have quite a story that we want to help you get out to everybody.
Sure, absolutely.
I'm super curious.
To talk about it. Yeah.
I'm so curious. I mean, I don't talk as much as Sean does, but I've been following you and all of your stuff, and I really am excited to get into the psychological side of what you were thinking and what you were feeling in the times where you were in your dark times, and then how you got out of that and got to where you are now, because you're really on the up and up with your business and just physical, mental wellness, and just leading your family and yourself in the right direction.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm definitely excited to share my story. For the longest time, I stayed closed up. It was embarrassing, right? And growing up in an area where we don't really talk about things that may affect us. It's always, hey, man, how you doing? Oh, I'm good, man. And you? Oh, I'm doing good. And that was it, right? But there could be so many things that are going on behind the scenes with our family, especially growing up in a Black community, that it's almost looked down upon to talk about, you know, somebody that's going through some troubled times. And for me, growing up, you know, I was that fat kid. At 12 years old, I was 255 pounds at 5'5", 5'6".
Wow.
The way that I found that out was I wasn't feeling good in school. I was in sixth grade and I went to the nurse's office. And of course, the nurse was like, well, we have to weigh you. And I didn't want to look. I was so embarrassed. And when I look back, just out of curiosity, I looked down and she wrote down 255 pounds. And I was just like, that's just, to me, I didn't really understand it because all I loved to do was eat.
Mm.
I didn't play a lot of sports growing up. I played more video games than anything, watched wrestling. And when I saw that, it was just a reminder like, man, like I am fat. I'm exactly what all the kids in middle school are telling me. They're telling me the truth. My first day of sixth grade, the first three words that I heard from my classmate was, damn, you're fat. And this is my first day of school going into my first class.
Jesus.
It didn't stop there. It continued on throughout the year. One of the things that ended up happening was during lunchtime, and I was just that kid that wanted to make friends like we all did, right? We wanted to have friends. We wanted to have a good time and hang out at lunch because it was cool. And they were like, hey, Tony, you want to play this game where we're going to run and you got 10 seconds to count. And then if you find the person with this gift, you get to have it. And I'm like, okay, they picking me. I must be really cool.
Yeah.
And so they were like, all right, you got to cover your eyes and count to 10. And this was during lunch. So all the kids were out there eating lunch and playing. And so when I was done counting to 10, all the kids were gone except for one. And one kid stood by me. He was like, Tony. And he was a good friend of mine. His name was Ramon. And he was like, Tony. I was like, let's go. And he's like, they played you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what do you mean? And so he took the sign off my back and it said, lard ass. And everybody saw that. And all the other kids just split. So it just left me in the middle of this open lunch area with lard ass with a sign on my back and just embarrassed, right? And so during my middle school years, those were probably the toughest times. That's when I had one of the teacher's aide call me a water buffalo. This is a grown man calling me a fat water buffalo. I got spit on walking downstairs in junior high school. I got sucker punched in the face just
because
rumors. Yeah. I had, was walking home one day and back in when I was in the sixth grade, seventh grade, there was a lot of gangs where I grew up at. And that was very prevalent.
And Tony, so sorry to interrupt you, but just to get reference, what year and what city was this in?
Oh, so I'm in San Diego, California. Oh,
okay. So when you were younger, that was still in San Diego. You were still in San Diego.
Yes. Gotcha. Yes. And so this was like 1990, 91.
Mm.
And I was walking to where I lived in these apartments. And there was these two guys and they were part of like a Mexican gang. And we crossed paths. I didn't say anything to them. I just kept my head down because I was so afraid of gangs. And as we crossed paths, I kept walking and I was walking to my like apartment gate. And then just this Slurpee just comes launching at my head. And fortunately it didn't hit me, but it hit the door and it kind of splattered on me a little bit from the, you know, bouncing off the door.
Mm-hmm.
And it was that guy who crossed paths with me. And I was just like, for what? Right. I didn't even do anything to him. So I was at times I was afraid to come out of my own place because my older brothers had their own families and I didn't want to, you know, rely on them and be like, hey, they're picking on me.
So sometimes it wasn't even a personal choice to not go out and be active. It was literally like an environmental
survival.
Yeah.
Mental survival. Yeah. Right.
Right. Because my brothers had their own families, right. They'd come over in a heartbeat, right. Because they want to protect their brother. But it's like, I don't want to be that tattletale, that snitch that has to go get his brothers to go beat up these guys. Cause then the retaliation comes back on me. I've been held up by a gunpoint before. Got my bike stolen and jacket stolen right in front of me.
Jeez.
So, you know, so my outlet at the time was wrestling. Like I watch wrestling and play video games. But during those times, junior high school, you could pick any name that teased me. I was called that.
And did you use food as like a coping mechanism?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And I had no idea about healthy food. I thought healthy food was boring. It was nachos, Snickers ice cream bar, hot dogs from 7-Eleven, McDonald's, Burger King, you name it, I ate it. Bro tacos, that was like my big thing.
Yeah.
If I can ask, like during all this, because I have similar stuff, which we'll, you know, get into another time, but when you were going through all this, were you living with your parents? Was it like parents, grandparents, brothers? What was your living situation?
So at the time, it was me and my mom, my brothers. I'm the youngest of four boys.
Okay.
And so my three older brothers had their own families and they lived in separate areas in San Diego. One of my brothers lived in LA at the time.
Did your mom, like, did this topic ever come up with your mom, or was she aware of the stuff going on, or was it one of those things where you just kind of put on a face at home?
I put on a face at home. My mom had to work during the day. And, you know, typically most of these things would happen during the day. And so I never did tell her, because I know that she is a big proponent of, like, don't go back and try to hurt that person, because retaliation, they can come back and shoot us.
Yeah.
Right.
So I never did say anything. I just kept it all to myself.
And how long did this go on for?
The bullying went on, I would say, from sixth grade on until college, junior college.
And did you do sports? Because the entire time I've known you, you've been, like, when we met, you were, I quote air quotes, bigger, but you were you were jacked, like you were you were a big dude. Now you're shredded.
Thank you.
Where did that process start? Like in high school, did you do sports? Did you start training? Did any of that start turning around there, or was it not till much later?
Not till much later. I did play football my senior year in high school, along with discus and shot put. And then I played 1 year of junior college football. And then that was it. And so when I started to get into wrestling, the first 3 years, still no discipline. My brother was trying to instill this discipline in me, and I was just not trying to hear it. But I did have goals to wrestle in Japan, to wrestle for the WWF, or now known as WWE, to travel and wrestle. And I would say around 2005 is when Rick Bassman, he was running UPW, and I was trying to get into UPW, and he told me, he said, "Slim, you are not going to make it anywhere when you look like you do now." And I just hit. And not only did that hit, but then everything that my brother was telling me hit, when he said the two best things you can invest in is your mind and in your body.
Yeah.
Because if you invest in those two things, everything else will come with it.
That's fantastic. So was that your, like, your baseline motivation to move forward? And you had mentioned, you know, writing a couple of goals down and moving towards that. Were those three things just people, because you had stemmed from, you know, being told you were fat, being told all of these nasty things and these things being done to you. And so when he came to you and said, "Hey, you're not going to go anywhere looking like that," the fact that he told you that, did that bring up all of those negative experiences that you had, and you just went, "Oh shit, shoot, like this is it, like this needs to happen"?
That it brought more of a positive reflection. It was like, if I want to do this, I need to start getting serious about it. What did bring up the past was when my ex-girlfriend kept calling me fat boy, and she liked the fact that I was fat. And so November 7th, 2005, that's when it just hit on the negative side, because it brought back all of those memories of when I was a kid getting bullied. So when she was like, "Hey, fat boy, I love my fat boy. Oh, you're a big stomach fat boy." I was like, no more fat boy. Forget it. I'm done. And then with Bassman saying, "Hey, you need to, if you want to get to where you need to want to be, you need to change the way you look."
Yeah.
And then with my brother instilling those, you know, all of that stuff he taught me, you know, told me about, and I just ignored it. Everything came to fruition. And then in 1 year, I lost 80 pounds.
What's so crazy to me is the amount of impact that, and people don't realize when they're on either end of it, that these things can have on you psychologically, to where now we're talking how many years later, just 20 something years later, and mm-hmm. or almost 20 years later, and you remember the date that you mm-hmm. said, I'm done. Like, I'm not doing this anymore. When, so your brothers are, if I got this correct, like I think I know at least one of them's a trainer, right? Correct?
Yes, correct.
And is that the one that was really pushing and motivating you to try to, you know, telling you, mm-hmm. you know, invest in your body and mind?
Yes. Yeah. He was the one that started it all for me.
So when you first, two-part question, how did you handle the situation with your girlfriend at the time? And how did you put a stop to that? Because that can be an uncomfortable, like you're young and those kind of confrontations aren't easy. Like we're both married and you know, sometimes having those conversations with your wife or significant other is difficult enough, right? Let alone just somebody you're dating and when you're younger and you don't have those experiences. So how did you handle that? And then what was the start of the process to, okay, I'm done with this. I need to get my stuff together and I want to change my life. And how did you begin that process?
Yeah, so I'll give a two-part answer. The background before that was I would do anything to make a girl happy, to get a girl's attention, let me just say. Because I've been so dissed by girls growing up, like, you know, asked to dance and they're like, no, because you're fat, right? Or, you know, just hang out with girls and they're like, no, you know? So when I finally had someone who gave me attention, I would, you know, try to please them and make them happy so I can get that attention. But as we were dating and she kept doing that, I was just like, it's either one or the other. Like, I'm either gonna continue with this lifestyle with her and keep getting teased, or I need to go accomplish my dreams. And so when I started, she didn't believe me. She's like, yeah, right. You're not going to drop your weight, blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, okay, watch. So then I started talking with my brother and he trained me on how to work out and how to build muscle and how to lose the weight. And so I'd say in the first couple of months, I dropped 40 something pounds. And then her and I were gone. We split, but she didn't like that. And during that time I met another girl, when I was already 40 something pounds down, and that girl is now my wife. And so the cool thing about that, our relationship was that we worked in the same building, just different companies. And, she was getting ready to go for a fitness competition and I was getting ready for the Wrestling Society X show on MTV at that time. So we both had a goal and she knew a lot about nutrition and working out. And then I took all the information and stuff that I received from my brother about working out. And then we just became this team who are now we're sharing our knowledge to help each other reach our goals. And so we did, right? 80 pounds gone, hit MTV, Wrestling Society X. She competed in her fitness competition for bikini and figure. And we conquered together. And once the 80 pounds was gone, I was able to do the dark matches for the WWF. Was able to go to Japan and wrestle. I was able to do Wrestling Society X. And that's when it really hit to say, if it took me to do that, to reach my goals, I could do freaking anything now.
And that's amazing. Clicked. That's amazing. And it really shows, did you realize at the time, you know, separating from your first girlfriend and then now to your now wife, did you realize at the time that just we hear the topic all the time of, you know, surround people that you surround yourself with people who have the same goals as you and who want to live the same lifestyle as you. Did you realize that at the time of like, hey, I need to get rid of this girl or else she's not conducive for who I want to be and where I want to go. Or was it just more of an instinctual thing like where it just happened?
The relationship that I had back then with my now wife just clicked more because we have more things in common. And so, yeah, I didn't know about the term, you know, surround yourself with like-minded people, but I was able to at least execute on it before I found out what that meant.
Right.
And it turned out to be really good because even to this day, here we are 16 years later, still together, and we're still compatible on multiple levels in our lifestyle because we both have goals that we want to, you know, achieve, not only as husband and wife, but as parents now.
Yeah.
Pretty little girl.
It's crazy to me how this like community of fitness and exercise. And I don't know if you saw it a lot when you were going through your transformation. I know when I lost a lot of weight, I got a lot. I've never gotten so much negative, negative attention and feedback as I did when I was trying to lose weight. It was I was super focused and counting everything. And it was, you're not enjoying life. You're boring. You spend too much time at the gym. You spend too much time counting calories and prepping your food. There was so much negative around it from the outside, but it's crazy to me how, like, Savannah and I, our basically first date was at the gym, and how that interest in, like, with you and your wife, just that mutual interest in fitness just brings you guys together. And 16 years later, you still have that same connection.
Yeah. It's amazing, because just like you and Savannah, it's literally like what my brother said, you invest in your mind and your body. You guys are both investing in your mind and in your body, right? You're not investing in your mind and your body, and she's over here investing in, like, cake and ice cream and, you know, oh, I don't really care about my life now that you guys are on the same road, right? So no matter what, like, that connection is there and that bond is there, because we only get one of each, right? So it's literally like, let's take best care of it while we can. And so that common ground that we have, it gels us, right? Just like me and Danelle, just like, you know, you and Savannah. So it's like, it's just really cool to see that connection compared to before, where me and my ex, we didn't have that connection.
Yeah.
We were on two separate paths, and it showed.
Now, when you and your wife started dating and you're getting prepped for Wrestling Society X, she's getting ready for her show, and you go through this process, did those things from your ex and your past, did they still haunt you and into your relationship? Like, do they still come out today, or is it something that you have been able to squash and come to terms with?
So not only her words, but words from the kids back in the day, they still haunt me. Mm-hmm. I've dropped a significant amount of body fat. I've dropped over 120 pounds in total, right? Mm-hmm. And so when I look in a mirror, I don't see the improvement. I see everything else. I see the excess skin, right? I see my belly that still has the excess skin that, you know, if I bend down a little bit, you can see the skin hang out. I see all that first. And that's really what I've noticed. And I don't try to focus on it, but then I flip it and I'm saying, okay, well, if I don't want this, and I got to keep pushing, it may never go away, but it fuels me enough to say, let me go ahead and execute and go do the best that I can in the gym with the time that I have. Otherwise, it's going to be the reverse, and I'm going to sit here in depression like I did for all those years, which brought me nothing.
Yeah, that choice, that desire to not be a certain way is so powerful. And I think listeners, if they're looking for a why, look for that desire. And that's a great example just stemming from your story, because the desire to not be a certain way is a huge driving force to moving forward. And that's fantastic. I hope that you can completely move through that body dysmorphia, because just watching you go through your process now has been so, so inspiring, and you inspire me. I mean,
thank you.
Just following you, the short time we followed you. But moving through that body dysmorphia, I mean, have you kind of tried to tackle that at all?
Yes, I have. But it's only been recently, because, you know, as mentioned earlier, I've hid it a lot, and I was very insecure to talk about it and share with people. So it just ate me up inside. And it's more than just body dysmorphia, it's mental dysmorphia too, because it messed me up, right? To where there's been more than one occasion where I'll look at pictures of me in the past and I could be hanging out with my mom. And I told my mom, "Mom, you should have shot me. You should have shot me because I was this sad."
Oh.
Like I'm disgusted with myself because of all the stuff that I went through.
But here you are today.
Right. Right. Here I am today. And it's a matter of, yes, I've been able to attain the goals, right, on a level of dropping away and changing my lifestyle. But now I look at my lifestyle as a husband and a father.
Yeah.
And more importantly, as a father, because now I'm the parent with the child, and I would hate to see her go through what I went through.
Yeah, babies are an amazing focal point for those sorts of situations.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. So true.
Where now? We still have a lot to cover, but where now, besides your, because I have the same motivations you do, as you look at yourself in the mirror and you want to see the change and you don't see it. We get into it all the time. What are your other motivators outside of, I don't want to look like that? What kind of things push you to get that extra rep or to run that extra mile, to prep that extra meal, to get you up early in the morning? What are those factors that drive you to get to where you are and that are going to get you to where you want to go?
Yeah. So first, and I would definitely say first, my wife and my daughter. I don't want it to sound like I'm being like this egotistical guy, but I want to be that dad where the kids see my daughter and they're like, "That's your daddy? Like, that's your, wow. Like, that's a big man." Right. And then she's like, "Yeah, my daddy's strong." Right. Mm-hmm. And so it's like I'm her superhero. Right.
Yeah.
And
it's the affirmation, positive affirmations behind it.
Yeah. And so I strive, I think about that every day. And I want to, that pushes me to continue to improve mentally and physically. And even to this day, 43 years old now, if I hit a certain goal, like when I drop body fat and I feel better, I want to go run to my brother and tell him, look, like I had another goal, right? Yeah. And so, because he was the one that started it all.
Well, that emotional and support is so important.
It is. And every time he's like, "Now you motivate me." Mm-hmm. When he was the one motivating me in the first place, right? So, and then people that I coach, now it's like, you know, I can't coach these people and they're looking like, "That's your coach? Really?" Like, okay, right? But if they're like, "That's my coach over there and he has transformed my life," then it's a reflection based off of what I've done. And then I've taken that same experience and knowledge and applied it to their lives, and then it reflects on them. So it's literally a circle of motivation, a circle of reflection based off of how I changed my life, and now it's reflecting on them.
That's fantastic. Are those transformations, do you see those as validations for your own journey as well? Like, oh, they see me that way. Does that create confidence for yourself as well? Even now, since you still see yourself in the mirror and you still kind of have that body dysmorphia, do your clients also motivate you as well?
They do, in a way of, like, I would say more pride, meaning pride, proud. I take pride because their lives have changed. Like, wow, look at Tay. She dropped 75 pounds in 8 months. Look at Willie over here. He's already dropped 50 pounds in the last 3 months. And his lifestyle has changed because he said, "Because of your coaching, I'm a better father and a better husband now."
Wow.
Like that's more than weight loss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that's a dad. That's a husband who's like, "Man, you have changed my life." I'm like, that man, like if you weren't in your city right now, I would come up there and give you a hug. Right now.
That's like so to the core. Yeah. It's to the core.
So I want to get into your coaching a little bit, but I want to do that a little bit later, because I know something else I want to touch on is, so not going to go too much into wrestling because we did that, but it was a huge part of your life. Wrestling Society X, you make it over to Japan, you hit that dream. I know that got cut short a little bit, but that was a huge milestone. But then you got injured.
Mm-hmm.
So go into a little bit the, because I think we've had some similar, and I'm interested to hear how you dealt with the mental and the physical, especially the mental rehabilitation of the setbacks and the, I used to be able to do this and now I can't. And
right.
'Cause that's a huge, I have that issue. I'm going through that right now of even 6 months ago, I could do this and now I can't. And now trying to build that back up. And it's such a mental kick in the gut, to try to process and get yourself back into that competitive space of, okay, I've done this before, I can do it again. So how did you, what was your injury and kind of go through that process of getting back?
Yeah. So I would say the biggest injuries that I've had, that I, as far as concussions goes, at least five that I know of.
Wow.
So that really took its toll on me. And I think it created me to hit depression harder than maybe I normally would have. Mm-hmm. And so in my back, I've had really bad back issues ever since, whether it was taking a drop on the back of my head and being folded in half, or literally like my knees touch my forehead. And, you know, to the point where the next day it was hard for me to get out of bed. And then I find out later that I have an L4, L5, S1. So like my lower back, the disc, I have three bulging discs, a herniated disc, and a tear in my spine. And now I just found out that I'm starting to get a little arthritis in my spine. So squats are out of the question. Deadlifts are out of the question. Anything that compresses my spine, I can no longer work that on, because I don't want that risk.
Wow.
What about
your concussions? You said that it put you in a deeper depression that it may have otherwise. What about the concussions put you in a deeper depression?
So when there was a time when I was working my non-wrestling job, my normal computer software engineering job, and I got laid off and the companies closed down. Three out of the four companies that I worked for, they were smaller companies. So they closed up shop and I got laid off. Well, at this time I already married. So I'm looking at this as like, how am I going to provide for my wife and I? This was before our daughter was born. How am I going to provide for my wife and I when I'm getting laid off? She's working. So now she has to carry the brunt of, you know, the bills and everything. Mm. And I'm collecting unemployment. And that happened, you know, once, twice, okay, third time, my gosh, like what's going on, really? And then a fourth time, I'm trying to find a job and I'm trying to do anything to get a job. And I sat in this corner in my office and I just heard, nope, we like you, but nope. And it was to a point where I literally was sitting in the corner and I was like, I'm ready to just go ahead and end it, because I feel like a complete loser, a complete failure, because I can't provide for my own family and for a husband. We want to provide for our families. We want to be able to take care of our women, take care of our households. And it's not an ego thing. It's just more of like, that's what we love to do.
It's a natural protector.
It is, right? And it's natural love. So it's like, well, geez, I guess nobody wants me. Right. And then that also triggered back in the day, you know, nobody likes me because I'm this fat kid. So my brain was just jacked up and I just was tired all the time. No energy, no motivation. And I was like, what's the point of even being around anymore? But then my friend at the time, I would go work out from time to time. He was like, man, you know what my therapy is? He's like, right here in the gym. Mm. And I was like, never thought about it that way. And I was like, you know what? I didn't realize that, but I think it's mine too. Mm-hmm. And so that's literally like my mental therapy now. is going to the gym.
So you go through that. What happened? How long did you have surgery when you hurt your back?
Not when I hurt my back. No, I haven't had any surgeries.
Okay.
From the injuries. I did do a lot of rehab and also ruptured my bicep too.
Ooh. So how drastically did your training change? Did it change gradually, or was it like an immediate change to, I can't do this anymore and it's a complete 180 and I have to completely retrain my mind and my body to train? Because it's hard when you go from power, strength, and you're you got those big squats and deadlifts, and it's that like superhuman feeling. And then you go to, I can't do this anymore. Like, was there a grieving process that you went through and came out of?
It was, because I was that guy who would like to bench press a lot of weight at the time. And it was like, ooh, I could bench press 455 pounds. Look at me. Yay. And after a while, I couldn't do that anymore, especially after the rupture in my bicep. And it was like part of my left side of my chest too. And so I couldn't do that anymore. And when I would work out, I'd hear clicks in my shoulder. I wasn't able to do a lot of leg workouts that I normally would do. And it just became more of a fear of getting hurt. So it literally diminished quite a few things that I could do in the gym. But fortunately, like with the training from my brother, I was able to do alternate workouts to still do it, but just not have that as much power anymore. But then looking back now, it's like, well, you know, as I'm getting older, I'm really not really trying to be this powerful guy. I want to be able to make sure that I have correct form, because I need to form my body now.
Yeah.
So it was a grieving time, but then I just turned that around and just flipped it and said, okay, well, what can I do instead of what can't I do?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And then there's something I was just going to ask you, and I totally, I totally forgot. Oh, so at this time, a big thing, if people aren't following you, definitely go follow Coaching by Drake. You made a huge change to a complete lifestyle change. I believe it was 4 years ago, correct?
Five and a half. I think almost 6 years ago now, 2016.
So walk us through what led to that change. I'll let you break that down, but what led to the decision to make that change and how that started?
Okay. I never really thought about the two and two. I never really put two and two together until I got more details about animal cruelty. So as my wife was not feeling good for years, she tried everything she could to feel better. Like, she went from feeling like not good. And my friend, or our friend, who's still our friend to this day, was like, hey, why don't you try going vegan and eating plant-based foods? And so her transition was overnight. And about a week to 2 weeks later, she noticed a huge difference where she went from feeling not good to really good. And so as she was feeling better, my transition was 2 weeks later. And so my transition went from eating animal-based protein to then doing pescatarian, which was only sea protein, and then vegetarian, cutting out the fish and the animal-based protein. And then from vegetarian into 100% plant-based vegan lifestyle. And that happened on St. Patrick's Day, 2016. And I'll never forget the last two, because when I was making that transition, I was eliminating food out of our refrigerator. We both were. Mm. And it was like two pieces of El Pollo Loco chicken left. And you know, I know, right? I'm just kidding. But it's literally like one of those things where it clicked when I gave the last two pieces to our dogs. And when I was taking the meat off of the bone and it was making that sound, it hit. And I would look at my dogs. I'm like, I would never want that to happen to my dogs. I wouldn't want somebody to do that to my dogs. And then I was like, yeah, I can't do this anymore. And it just, I never went back. Now, with my wife, she, you know, like I said, she went from feeling not good to really good. And so I went from feeling pretty good to feeling absolutely phenomenal. And during the last 6 years, I've had my back injuries, but because the amount of inflammation that I'm no longer taking from the animal-based protein, my body has recovered a lot faster. Mm. And I've noticed a difference in my health.
Yeah, the effect that animal protein has on blood plasma is huge. I've looked into a couple studies. It's been a minute, so I forget the specifics of it, but just the drastic effect that it does have on your blood is huge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yeah, so St. Patrick's Day 2022 will be 6 years.
So how did you get into life coaching and just general like training and coaching? How did that come about? Because you work a regular, quote unquote, regular job. You do a job that I couldn't even imagine being able to do. I don't have the brain capacity for it. So where did that idea come in, and how did you start that?
So I would, before, like when I was working out in the gym, I would help, you know, I'd work out with people because all the information and knowledge that I received from my brother, I would love to share with other people. So working out or training someone was pretty cool, but I didn't really see that happening as a future of mine. And in November of 2019, mind you, I'm already done with wrestling. I'm done with wrestling 7 years out. So I ate as if I was still training for wrestling, but I didn't train. So I put a lot of weight back on, mm-hmm. almost 300 pounds again. And in April of 2019, still living a plant-based lifestyle, I'm eating my food and we're having like a potluck. And I'm still heavy, and I look over and I'm just like, no insult to my coworkers at the time, but I'm just like, how am I going to represent a plant-based vegan lifestyle of fitness when I'm looking no different from over here? And it clicked again. And I'm just like, I need to go back to how I lost the weight before. And then from April to November of 2019, I dropped 62 pounds, but built muscle at the same time. And so with that, I started to talk about it with my coworkers because they started asking questions. How did you, I've seen you every day and now you're dropping this weight. Like, how did you do it? And as I was talking to them, it went from like one-on-one to two-on-one to now there's like 10 people asking questions. And one of my coworkers on my team was like, dude, like when you talk about this stuff, you just smile and you're just happy to share this knowledge. You should start doing this. And I was like, no, I don't want to train people. He's like, no, not training. Like do something. Like, I don't know what it's called. And so that passion turned into a hobby because then I started to see how many people I can start helping change their lives and share this information with. And then that hobby and passion turned into a business. And when people started to see my change, they were like, how did you, like I posted transformation pics and they're like, how did you drop all that weight? And I'm like, oh, here's how you do it. Here, let me coach you. Do you want to join my group? And they're like, sure, right? And so I just started doing it. And, you know, the time that I was putting into helping people changing their lives, I had a couple people like, you need to make this a business.
Mm-hmm. And that shows how impactful passion is. And mm-hmm. it just makes me smile when you say that, just because I'm with you when it comes to that. Cause I struggled with school, struggled with college and all that, thinking like, oh yeah, I gotta go to college. You gotta get a degree to get a good job and all this. And it's really true. Young folks out there, that passion really does take you places. And just the fact that you're a stable child for this journey, to follow your passion and make a career out of it is fantastic. I do want to ask you, with that second flip of like, okay, I got to get back into this, it almost sounded like it was very autonomous at that point. And that's a hard skill and tool for people to attain throughout their, you know, lifestyle change or fitness journey, where they fall off and need to hop back on the train. How do you approach that with clients. I mean, and telling people, you know, oh, you know, I didn't do anything this, you know, a client comes to you and says, oh, I didn't do anything this week. You know, I'm just not in it. You know, how do you get your client to that point and say, you know, switch it back on?
Talk about their pain points. You go back to square one of what's the, why do you want me to hold you accountable? Why do you want me to coach you? Remember you were talking about your daughter. Remember you were talking about longevity. Remember you were talking about how you want to be a better husband and a better father. You want to get back on track.
Yeah.
I'll bring it right back up.
Total accountability.
Yeah. And then from there, you know, it's good because one, it calls out the pain points, but it's not in shame, right? It's in question. I don't shame them. I ask them questions.
Absolutely.
Remember when, you know, remember when you called me and told me about what was going on? Remember when all those people were clowning you because you were big and now they're asking you questions on how they can look like you? Let's get back on track. Let's go. We got a whole nother week. Remember, this is a lifestyle. We're going to have these, you know, setbacks, but we got to keep pushing.
Yeah.
Remember why you started. And that from there, they find that and they're like, I'm so glad I called you. And I'm like, yeah, that's what I do. Like, and I'll go on forever and talk with them just because it's just like, I don't want them to stop. And I just love what I love the change that I get to see in them. It's just, yeah, it's great.
Yeah. True passion. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So what is the next step in your journey?
So in my journey of coaching, I just mustered up enough courage to start sharing my stories more on social media. And the next step, and one of the ultimate journeys, is motivational speaking at events and in front of audiences, to where sharing my story with so many people who have gone through quite a lot of similarities that I've gone through, to be able to get an impact by that and start to change their lives. And that's where I see myself going next.
So are you doing all of this in person? Is it online? How do you go about doing this? Like, if someone wants to contact you, what is the best way to get a hold of you, and how do they go through that process?
So right now, the best way to get a hold of me is through my Instagram, Coaching by Drake. And there's still quite a bit of things that are taking place virtual right now. So I have taken the opportunity to do a virtual cooking webinar as of last week and shared my story. Also, I've jumped on not only your podcast, but a few other great podcasts to share my story, to get different audiences to listen in on my story. And now getting on and doing video on my Instagram stories, sharing what I've gone through with my exes, going through my bullying years, and opening up a lot more and doing that on a daily basis. So if they want to reach out, definitely send me a message on Instagram. You can connect from there. And I'm always happy to answer questions that they may have.
You know, I was thinking about this the other day when I watched your story and you were talking about, you know, digging up those feelings from the past and actually feeling them, grieving them, processing them, and moving forward. It made me really happy to see that, you know, you were healing from that, because that's something that I've been learning as well, because I don't like feelings. I don't know about you, but that's insane that you're able to recognize, hey, I need to heal from this and move forward in order to bring myself to that next level of coaching, which is awesome.
Thank you. Because, and here's another reason why, and I've learned this within the last couple of weeks. Number one, when you live through this, like I did, there, you have this inside you, right? And so you have two choices. One, you hold it in and let it eat you alive until the day you pass. Or two, you execute and you do something great about it. But then the second part of that is, when I wake up and I think about those things that have affected me and I hold it in and with anger, instead, if I can tell my story and I receive messages from people that say, you know what, I've gone through similar things, which is true, like, and I've heard this, now I get to focus on them and not focus on me.
Oh, wow.
And help them.
Yeah.
Well, that's made a significant difference.
Just hearing the details of your childhood, that is a very harsh environment to be in. And, you know, it could have very easily gone the other way. And you made choices. You are the staple child to making choices and making your life what you want it to be. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to get my mom voice on right now, because people listening, you have a life to live. And the choices along the way are what really makes it. And hearing your story is just very inspiring, because it's, like I said, it could have gone the other way really easily.
Yeah.
Well, and it's a testament to that. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's the easiest thing you can do is to give up, but you take those, you take those bumps in the road, and you take those hurdles, and you make the active, like Savannah said, the active decision to say, I'm not living this way anymore. I'm taking my life into my hands, and I'm making the decision to do different. And I think a lot of people have kind of lost that concept of you are ultimately in control of your ship, right? It your ship goes where you steer it. And like she said, you're the prime example of that, is you took the reins and said, this is what I'm doing. And it's not always easy. But you made that your focal point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the one question I know everybody wants to know, myself included, is when is your return to wrestling?
Oh, man. I would love to get back in the ring, I would say, at least one more time.
Because I know you've never wrestled Jack Brinks. I know that for fact.
With both of your backs, I mean, it's an even match.
Yeah, right.
That grumpier old man.
Yeah. We'd have back-to-back matches. You know what I would want to do if I'd get back in the ring? I would want to go into the ring, as goofy as this sounds, but it would be a huge goal of mine, is to go in there without a t-shirt on or a tank top.
Oh, hell yeah. Goals.
Because it's something I've never done, because I was so ashamed.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, let's make that happen.
Closure.
Yeah.
So I'm going to spring this on you last minute to wrap up, and this is something I failed to mention to you before. But I want to close these. Like I said to you, our whole goal with this is to give people a platform to share their trials and tribulations and how they've overcome to build what I just call success, right? Everyone attributes success to money and fame and being on TV and being wealthy. And that's, to me, that's not success. It can be a measure of success for some, but overcoming these things and becoming the best version of you is success. And being a proud and successful father and husband and professional is success. So what I want to do is I want you to take a minute, and I'll just keep time. And if there's anything a message you want to share with listeners, anything to motivate, any tips, anything you want to give them, that you think would help, or any advice from your years, want to give you the opportunity to just throw it out there.
For sure.
So whenever you're ready.
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right, let's go.
All right. So if there's a few things, we all have our own stories, right? And we all have our pain points. The number one thing that I would encourage people not to do is to hold it in. Talk with other people. You will never believe the stories they have to share with you. And at the same time, it's a good outlet for your system mentally, because you're getting it out instead of holding it in. And I like the brown paper bag analogy, to where if you put a whole bunch of different people's paper bags on the ground and you put yours down and you're like, oh my God, look at all my problems. And you go and look at somebody else's brown paper bag and you're like, I don't want that. I'll go back to mine. We all have it. We all have this brown paper bag. So when you open up and you share your brown paper bag or your stories with other people, it makes a huge change in the way you look at things now. And the next step is to use those pain points, to use what hurt you like it did with me, and to execute in something that's going to turn it into a positive result. And for me, as I mentioned, the gym is my therapy session. So I use those pain points of being called the fat kid, of being spit on, of being laughed at, of having sodas and slurpees thrown at me. And I use that to execute in the gym. And I want to come out better mentally and physically as I go back to my car and go back to my family. Because one, I'm talking about it with others, so I'm getting it out of my system. And now I'm executing it with myself, with my own time, and turning that into a positive result. So whatever is holding you back or is causing you pain, use those two methods, and I'm telling you, it is going to change your life.
Man, that's powerful. I love it. So real quick, we want to thank our sponsor, Nine Realms Athletics. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok. Go to ninerealmsathletics.com. Use promo code MANIFEST to get a discount on your next order. For listeners, we're always open to suggestions and looking for interesting guests. So if you have anyone you think we should talk to, or you have a story that you want to tell that you think would be beneficial, that could help other people, email us at ninerealmsathletics@gmail.com, or you can send us a message, a DM. We answer them all the time. Tony, I really appreciate it. As I said to you before, we do have something planned for the future, and we want to do at least one more episode with you and have you on. And thank you so much for your time, man.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you both. I appreciate you guys.
All right, guys. Thank you so much, and we'll catch you on the next episode.